How often have you been in situations where someone was speaking and afterward you had no idea what they said? You might even get the question, did you hear me? Did you listen to me? Do you know what I said? You know, the Bible uses terms like listen and hear pretty often. It was due to Pharaoh's unwillingness to listen that Egypt was punished. According to Exodus chapter 7 and verse 4, when Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts and my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. God promised Israel great blessings, according to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 5, if only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all this commandment which I am commanding you today. But as we know, they did not listen. Notice that text says, listen obediently. That is, you listen with an intent to do what is being said. We have ears to hear. The question is, how well are we listening? This reminds us of a passage in Isaiah chapter 6. After Isaiah had seen the glory of God and was convicted of his sin, and God had said, you know, who am I going to send? And he said, here I am, send me. Here's what he was told in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Nehemiah reminds us in chapter 9 and verse 17 that the people refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. They did not listen, it says, and they became stubborn. There's a correlation there between really not wanting to listen, refusing to listen, and being stubborn about it. God appealed to these people over and over, only to get what we often refer to as the cold shoulder. But we have to turn the focus back on ourselves a little bit. How well are we listening? I used to tell students, you know, I've seen you sleep in classes. I see you lean back and get comfortable and drift off into some kind of la-la land. We may hear words, but do we absorb them? Are we planning to do anything about what we hear? It has been noted that history wouldn't have to repeat itself so often if the world would listen. Would we repeat the same mistakes of the ancient Israelites? If you've been listening to the videos on the book of Hebrews, when we talked about chapters 3 and 4, we noted that repetitive concept there. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of the trial of the wilderness. That's repeated three times in chapters 3 and 4. And again, notice the correlation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The refusal to listen coincides with being stubborn. Failing to listen. Stubbornness. In Proverbs, failing to listen is associated with being a fool. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In fact, the wisdom of God is shown as crying out in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 6, listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. But listening is much more than simply hearing words. It's the hearing with intent that we're talking about here. Hearing with the idea of truly understanding and learning and doing. And this is something that never ends for the wise person. In fact, the more we listen, the wiser we become. The wiser we become, the more we're going to want to listen. There's again a correlation there. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19. Proverbs 23 and verse 19 says, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags." It's kind of an interesting thing right there, because we might ask the question, how well do drunk people listen? Well, he says, don't be like that. But we often turn what we call a deaf ear to the things we'd rather not hear. And Paul warned about the dangers of that very attitude. I'm turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He warned of the dangers of that attitude of people who would pile up those who say what they want them to say. So 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths." So they turn away their ears. They don't want to hear. They turn a deaf ear. And that's part of stubbornness, which, again, when practiced, makes us more like Pharaoh instead of being conformed to the image of our Lord. And sometimes failing to hear, failing to listen, is just a matter of carelessness. Sometimes we say something, and within just a few minutes, somebody turns around and asks the question that you just answered. That happens in classes. That happens at home. I have been guilty of asking those very questions after I've already been told something. I was careless, not listening. And it's really kind of a matter of courtesy. We live in a culture that has become pretty selfish about things. And interrupting is a pretty common problem. Interrupting, whispering, talking over someone who's trying to speak happens quite a lot. But we need to appeal to our reason, our sense of dignity and respect. Our mothers taught us not to interrupt. So listen to your mothers. Things will go much better if we do. But the problem here is that it could signal a much worse problem, a greater issue with God Himself. Are we interrupting God? Are we talking over God? Do we fail to listen to His will for our lives? This is more than just being in a class or being in an auditorium with a sermon or listening or hearing something online, some other public setting that might require some level of respect from us. This is life. Every day, if we fail to listen carefully to God's word with intent, not only trying to understand but trying to do it, there will be eternal consequences. And so when we open up our Bibles for our daily readings, are we even doing that? And if we do that, are we doing it with an intent to hear, with an intent to listen? Do we show respect for our Lord? Reminded of the end of Hebrews, you know, the beginning of Hebrews starts by saying that God has spoken through His Son. He's spoken in many times through prophets in various ways, but in these last days He's spoken to us through His Son. And then if you come to the end of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 25, He says, "See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking." And He's talking here about the Lord. "For if they did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from Him who warns from heaven." The Hebrews writer had already given the indication there that, you know, it was bad enough not to listen to Moses. It was bad enough not to listen to the prophets. But to turn away from Jesus is a whole other level of disrespect for God. It's God who said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." But we are distracted by many things. Hearing is not as easy as it may sound. You know, we might say, even if we heard someone's voice, we might say, "I heard you," but did we really listen? On the other hand, we might hear someone's voice and then say, "I didn't hear you." And what we mean by that is we weren't really paying attention. We weren't really listening. And the problem is, if we say, "I didn't hear that," then we might feel justified, like our responsibility for doing what we were told is negated somehow because we didn't hear what was said. We don't have that kind of liberty with God. You know, and if you read, the first three chapters of Revelation, you'll find the repeated phrase to the churches of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 in particular was this: "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus often said something pretty similar to those that he taught. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The hearing in these cases is not just recognizing sounds that come out of his mouth, but listening carefully with the intent to learn and do. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17 says. But the hearing that produces that kind of faith is based on a willingness to be taught and an eagerness to practice what has been learned. Again, what characterized the failure of the children of Israel in the wilderness was their failure to hear. And really, it boils down to the fact that they didn't hear because they didn't want to hear. And they became distracted with other issues that they thought perhaps were more pressing. How easy it is to become distracted and not even realize that we have missed something really important. It's easy to get caught up in the daily activities that we lose sight of priorities in our reading, in our studying, in our hearing of God's word. You know, this is not new. Let's remind ourselves of the account in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 of Martha and Mary. Luke 10 and verse 38 says, "They were traveling along and he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations." Now notice the contrast there. Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his word, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Now let's just pause for a second there. Was Martha doing something inherently sinful here? Of course not. She was preparing, she was fixing things, she was taking care of stuff that needed to get taken care of, maybe preparing a meal and taking care of the company and that kind of thing. And we normally recognize that as a good work. And it is. But when you compare that to the fact that in your home is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is teaching, then just let the dishes sit a while and go listen to Jesus. Martha was distracted. And she came up to Jesus and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Again, there's a time to take care of the serving. There's a time to do those things. The Lord wants us to be servants. There's also the necessary part of listening to Jesus Christ with the intent of doing his will. Martha had noble intentions. I can imagine she wanted everything to be just right. I don't think she had any ill will here. She legitimately would have wanted some help. She would not have purposefully shunned Jesus, as if she didn't care about his teachings or didn't care about him. She's serving. She sees this as important. But she was worried, bothered, distracted, and as a result, missed the greater opportunity of sitting at the feet of the Lord and hearing him teach. Jesus was not going to take Mary away from that opportunity, the choice that she made to sit at his feet and hear him. Distracted, bothered by so many things. You know, how much effort we put into hearing is directly related to our foundations, our priority foundations. Because when something is important to us, really important to us, we will work to make sure that is a part of our lives. And you know as well as I do that distractions are a dime a dozen. Could be television and movies, could be sports, could be music, could be even just hanging out with friends. Those things, which may not be wrong in and of themselves, can become a distraction. Distractions away from the personal efforts that we are to have to draw closer to God. And may we add to that today, even being distracted by such things as a virus. Things that can cause us to get so worried and bothered and troubled over here that we're forgetting there's something greater, and there's a greater one in whom we can put our trust and our hope and still find the peace that passes understanding. Again, Jesus taught in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, as he describes the parable of the sower. He says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." Choked with worries and riches and pleasures. You know, if we think that such distractions are not a serious danger today, we're fooling ourselves. Our efforts need to center on hearing through those kinds of distractions, choosing the good part, no matter what other things may be going on that we think we have to pay attention to. But how then do we sift out the important from the unimportant? And I want to bring us back around to our theme this year. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus," or looking to Jesus, "the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Runners would tell you that if they're going to do well in a race, they have to keep their eyes to the front. Imagine the sprinter as he's trying to run the sprint, looking around him. You know, every time you do that, you're going to slow down. Fix your eyes on the goal. Set your eyes on Jesus. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Notice, we can become weary. We can lose heart if we fail to fix our eyes and look to Jesus. Dedicated concentration on Jesus himself is necessary to take the focus off of ourselves, to put the focus on Jesus, and just stop and listen to his will. "This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." James 1 and verse 19. There's something else I want to stress. We focus on the fact that we need to be listeners. We need to be hearers. We need to be followers of God. We need to follow the pattern and the example that He sets. And so one of the things that I think about that helps me is the fact that God Himself listens. God is a listener. God is a hearer. Now, failure to listen to Him means that we are failing to honor and glorify Him. It's putting ourselves above God, and of course, we have no right to do that. And we need to concentrate on listening to God in such a way that we're hearing through those distractions, those things that would take our minds off of where they need to be focused, and we get choked so that we're not bearing fruit. But listen, sit at the feet of Jesus and hear, or as Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So if God wants us to listen, then think about the other side of that for just a moment, because one of the beauties of serving God is knowing that we serve a God who Himself is eager to listen to us. Now, it's not quite the same because we don't give Him commands, we don't give Him orders. But yet God still says, I want to hear you and I want to answer you. And this is where we find one of the greatest blessings imaginable, and maybe one of the most overlooked and taken for granted. We have the ears of God. You know, sometimes people in important positions might say, you know, I have the ears of this important person, or I might have the ears of the governor or the president or whatever it may be, and so I can take something to that person. God has the ability to hear us, and we have His ears as His children. Psalm 50 in verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. I would say for myself that I have not appreciated this as much as I really need to. I try to remind myself of this privilege, a privilege both to hear God and to be heard by God. And when we stop and think about who it is who speaks to us in Christ and who it is who says, call upon me, this is a humbling and magnificent thing. Again, we get so busy that we fail to listen, and when we fail to listen, it's probably going to be a guarantee that we fail to pray. Again, there's going to be a corollary here. If I'm really not taking the time to listen to God, why would I take the time to pray to God? And then even if we did under such circumstances, if I just happen occasionally to pray to God, even though I'm not really listening to His word, what meaning is going to be found in that? Shakespeare records the king in Hamlet saying this, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. Words without thoughts. So we find ourselves in that position. Because we don't take time to listen, could it be that whatever prayers we offer become mindless phrases with no real thought attached to them? And then what would that say about our reverence and respect for God? But when I remind myself that God wants to listen to me, He wants to hear us, then I become a bit ashamed that I've not talked to Him more. The Creator of heaven and earth, the one whose power of the Word spoke everything into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. That same God says, talk to me, and I will hear. Call to me, and I will answer you. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Or Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 in this well-known passage. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. But what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God knows how to give good gifts. James 1 reminds us in verse 17 that every good gift really does come from God. God knows how to give. We need to know that when we ask in good faith, God hears and he will give what is good. Think about it this way. Parents love to communicate with their children. And you know, it's a joy for a parent, no matter what the age, to have a child come to them and communicate with them. You know, when they're toddlers, they don't have any trouble coming to you and communicating with you. And we cherish that with our toddlers. As they grow up, for them to come to us and talk to us is something that we hold in great value. And I can remember trying to communicate with my father years ago when I first started preaching. And he had decades of experience behind him. And I would go and talk to him. And I know he appreciated that. To have a child who's now grown come to you and say, hey, what would you do under this situation? What's your advice under these circumstances is a very meaningful kind of thing. And children want parents to listen to them. God, our Father, desires for us to communicate with him. He hears his children. And it is the distinct privilege and right that he gives of the one who can truly address God as Father. 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, see how great a love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. All the spiritual blessings that are associated with being a child of God found in Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, where all spiritual blessings are found in the heavenly places in Christ. And this is why we pray in the name of Jesus. That phrase is not a formula, but it's an expression of everything that Jesus is to us. So when we read passages like Colossians 3, 16 and 17, that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean we're just walking around saying in the name of the Lord, but it does mean that we're paying attention to what it means to give glory to God in everything that we do. It is through him we have all spiritual blessings, and it is through him, through Jesus, that we can then approach God. Jesus taught that people ought always to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18 and verse 1 says, and the parable that follows in Luke 18 illustrates that persistence in prayer. A widow keeps coming to a judge asking for protection, and because of her persistence, he gave her the request. And then Jesus said of God, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? That doesn't teach us that we can afford to be impatient with God or even be demanding of him. But it does show that our persistence is important in coming to him as his children. Scripture says that God hears those who ask according to his will. Now, prayer should not be thought of like a spoiled child being able to demand and get anything and everything he wants and throw a fit if he doesn't get it. James rebuked some who ask and do not receive, he said, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures, James 4 and verse 3. Instead, our prayers need to be according to God's will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14. Like Jesus, then, our prayers need to be, Your will be done. Not mine, but yours be done. And God hears those who ask in faith. James said that one who asks for wisdom must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect he'll receive anything from the Lord, James 1:6-7. In other words, we don't approach God with some kind of a, okay, if you're there, maybe, attitude. God is faithful. He will do His part. We need to trust, and we need to trust Him and trust that He is faithful if our prayers will be effective. Don't doubt God's power and strength to do His will. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 reminds us, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not only is God able, He is willing and ready to bless. Our prayers are based on God's ability, God's desire, and faithfulness in answering prayers. And so we encourage us tonight to hear God's word and to call upon Him. Psalm 145 and verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them. So what a marvelous God we serve. So our lesson tonight has been fairly simple. On the one hand, listen. Listen with intent. Listen through the distractions. And do it with the intent and purpose of doing the will of God. But on the flip side, understand that we serve a God who Himself listens and hears our prayers. And how great that is, especially at this time when we get worried and troubled over the things that are going on in this world. We have a God who cares and a God who hears. And we need to focus on that.